Welcome back to the June edition of UNM Gamer E3 Spectacular.
Yay!
I'm joined with me today is Jeremy Huggard.
Hi.
Derek Johnson.
Spectacular.
Christian
Everett.
And I'm Aiden Tarowski. Hey guys, it's been obviously a month or so. We waited till the end of this month so we can get all the E3 stuff out of the way. How is everybody today?
I'm kind of tired.
It's a trick question, but yeah.
Kind of moist.
I don't really expect an answer.
I'm a little tired, stressed
or something
out.
With that much description.
It's my Friday, and I'm thinking of my farm.
In Farmville.
You post a lot of Farmville content, Christian.
I do, and I'm sorry.
Man.
My wife has got me stuck on it, man. What can I say?
Every day I learn how you're taking care of a turtle or a cute little kitten or something.
Are you pouring money into that?
Hell no. Are you kidding me?
Jesus. I didn't worry.
People do that.
I know they do.
Do they have an option where you can, you know, like, not post that up? Because I got a few friends who do that, and then...
But then what's the point of it?
You just pick hide.
I don't know. You can try farming. You can try working and you just having the gratitude of having a farm.
You can cancel that. You
realize how crazy you sound? Farming and being appreciative of it?
I don't think we can get bragging rights through raising cows, is what I'm saying.
Maybe it's a cute cow. Depends.
Whatever.
Aside from E3, let's talk a little bit first about what games are coming out in the near future for the next month of July.
Yay!
For Xbox, we've got Crackdown 2.
Oh, Crack.
Yes.
I'm down. Two?
Good enough. Give it a
did you play the first one?
No, I never played the first one. I saw the commercial for it.
Has anyone here played the first one?
I don't have an Xbox.
Yeah.
It looked cool in trailers. From what I understand, it's a third-person action game, which gives you the ability to jump really high over buildings and stuff.
It kind of looked like the Incredible Hulk games to me.
A little bit, yeah.
And it kind of reminds me, looked like Bionic Commando to me, which I didn't like when I played
it. I haven't played it, but I'll give it a yay. It just looked kind of cool.
Nay? Just because the commercial, like, I got caught up into it for about 1 minute, and I thought, what the hell is that game about?
So you hate it now? Because you didn't know
it's
what it was about?
Superhero cops, I think, essentially.
Yeah.
It's about a group of girls who all share a very strong friendship, and they come together every night to read books.
Pillow fights.
And they go down on their cracks.
Oh.
And I'll let you guys run with that.
It's explicit.
I would say yay, but since I don't have an Xbox, I'm never going to play it.
That's fine, too.
Pretty likely. It looks fun. I like games that give you superhero powers and stuff in, like, a real-world setting. But, again, I'm never going to play it, so I don't really care that much.
Nay, because I don't like popular stuff.
So I
probably won't play it. So.
The two people who have the ability to play it don't want to play it.
Okay. Nay, what does that say about the game? How about this one? Next one. Next month we've got for 360, PS3, I think PC, I'm not sure, Monkey Island 2.
Yes, it's for PC as well.
Mm-hmm. Ah, good. That's right, we're just talking about
the special edition.
Yeah.
Was there ever an original Monkey Island 2? Or is this a new game being created
from the ground up? This is the original Monkey Island 2 back from, Jesus, like 15 years ago or something.
Probably more than that. I think it was... on 386 systems.
Maybe even 93?
Yeah, it's possible. It was a long time ago.
Like
I remember having it on
maybe.
Those weird floppy disks. Like the bendable floppy disks.
Oh, yeah.
5 1/4, yeah.
You know what was a cool remake? Sid Meier's Pirates. I like the remake of that.
Meh.
Fun game. You played it?
I say yay to this because I have actually purchased it already and will own it as soon as it comes out on Steam.
You better hope it's a yay then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What about you ever played Monkey Island, Derek?
Yeah, I did. Which system did I play it on? I think I played it on...
The Macintosh?
I think it was SNES. I liked it, so I'll give it a yay.
Cool. I'll give it a yay, too, for sure.
All right. Next up, Dragon Quest IX for Nintendo DS. Nothing? No?
No.
Mm-hmm. This is like a series that's pretty much bigger than God in Japan, as I understand it.
Well,
it's like what Final Fantasy here is to out there, pretty much.
Well, they always kill God in Japan, so I can't really, support it.
Uh-huh.
Carries a lot of weight.
Nay, I don't want to play a DS game that's going to take me 100 hours to play.
I'm going to say nay, but because I've actually played these games, and I didn't like them, so I'm going to give it an A for that.
I fucking love Dragon Quest VIII. I think it's one of the better PS2 role-playing games. I know you weren't able to get into it that much.
Yeah, I keep trying to get it, go back to that game, but I just can't do it.
But, I don't know, I'm really not eager to play anything that takes a long time to play on the DS. The DS is uncomfortable to play on.
Well, do you think it's a good system for RPGs, though? Because you can just kind of pick them up and get a little grinding in and, you know, play it another time. I think it's a perfect system for RPGs.
Not for me. When I think of playing an RPG, I think of playing it for, like, 7 hours at a time or something. And the DS is really I have the experience of having played Final Fantasy IV on it. It's really uncomfortable to hold after a while, and my eyesight is kind of poor anyway, so the small screen, this is not good.
Because I store a lot of mainly just the Final Fantasies on my PSP, and I think it's great. I think handhelds is a perfect system for these older games to just break them out.
You're an idiot.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Ooh, yeah.
Asshole. Well, next.
Sick burn.
Sick burn. What's that mean?
Sick burn.
Sick burn.
Right.
Dude, sick burn.
Okay, if we keep saying that, I'll suddenly get it, right?
Okay, we'll just move on.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Yeah, next one, is it Blaze Blue or is it Blaze Blue Continuum Shift?
I've heard it both ways. I like Blaze Blue better.
Yeah. It's actually, there's no E at the end of the Z, so it would be Blaze Blue, wouldn't it? It's kind of like a quirky 2D fighter in the spirit of Guilty Gear, I guess, from the guys who made Guilty Gear. Pretty cool. I don't know. I played the first game. It was kind of fun, but I don't know. There's better 2D fighters out there, to me personally. So,
such as?
Well, obviously Street Fighter IV being one, any of the classic iterations. And they recently announced Mortal Kombat. That looks kind of cool.
That's not better than Blaze Blue, I'm sorry.
I think the newer one that's coming out looks kind of pretty cool. And, of course, Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Mortal Kombat has always been flash over substance for me.
Okay.
I don't think it's a real fighting game. It's more something that's just something you play to amuse yourself with fatalities and shit like that.
So?
I don't know. Blaze Blue is actually a fighter with a lot of depth.
They're both... Anyway, still had fun with Blaze Blue, but I'm just not excited about it, so I'm going to give it an A.
Nah, never even heard of it or seen anything about it, so nay.
I'm going to throw a new vote. Done now.
If we add that vote, that'll disrupt the whole purpose of yay.
Okay, so...
You have
you're throwing things
nay.
Out of continuum.
I choose nay.
It's weird that I get to be the positive one this month. yay, but I'm a sucker for online fighters. I really like beating ass online, so...
Cool. Finally, next month, StarCraft II comes out.
Yay!
Really?
Damn it! Wow, that was awkward.
You know what? My memories of StarCraft...
Well, fuck you guys.
StarCraft.
There you go.
My memories of the first StarCraft are like playing through the single-player campaign and kind of enjoying it, but then hitting a wall and having to cheat to get past that point.
Yep.
And I expect that StarCraft 2 will be the same for me, because I'm just not...
I don't remember ever having used any cheats in the first one.
Literally hitting a wall over and over and over again.
Yeah.
That's what I remember from that fucking game.
Man.
And you know, it's so built up now. I mean, how many years have we been fucking talking about StarCraft 2, StarCraft 2, StarCraft 2? You know what? Keep the StarCraft 2. I don't care. I personally
really?
Don't.
I really expected a different answer from you, the PC guy.
Well, here, so. You know, I'd much rather play games that are out. Sorry.
So that so you're gonna hate it because it's not out yet?
No.
Isn't that what this whole yay or nay thing is about?
I've just heard about it, so fucking.
You're a loose cannon, Christian.
I am.
You're out of line.
And I need to be taken control of.
I'm really curious to see how this affects the Korean StarCraft thing, because I've been playing that original StarCraft this entire fucking time.
800 by 600, baby. All tournaments all the way.
I think I read a story somewhere. If they subscribe to World of Warcraft, they get to play StarCraft 2 for free.
Yeah, I don't know. But I would think that, I mean, you probably have to pay for the game, but I'm sure that the Battle.net aspect of it is free. But I'm curious to see if they'll adopt StarCraft 2. I bet they probably won't, which will be kind of interesting. But they're so used to having that original StarCraft, I can't see them wanting to just walk away from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they hold, like, game shows and TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
With people, kids playing that game out there.
Arenas filled with people just watching two screens that are 800 by 600 blown up million times.
Yeah.
Yeah, going up against them online sucks. The first online gameplay I ever experienced, I had my ass handed to me.
I'm sure there's going to be cool parts about it. So, I mean, I guess I'd say yay, but I'd probably never play it. You know, just because I don't know anybody that actually has it or gets their hands on it.
No, to me, it's always just kind of been Warcraft 2, but in space. That's what the original StarCraft was for me. So I just kind of stayed away from it.
It's probably a nay for me, actually. I mean, I think that the original StarCraft was fun, but like I said, I kind of sucked at it. I was a mediocre player at it. I never did try to play it against other players or anything, but there's a kind of an element of that repetitive, okay, send out the drones, get the crap, build your crap, and beat up some crap, and I don't know. Yeah, I understand that there are ways, like strategies, to play the game differently from game to game, but it doesn't feel like
any strategy. I just had build up as many guys as you can, then and charge.
And Zerg.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't matter. Just charge. Cannon fodder. That's I still give it a yay, though.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a yay. I'm not going to buy it, but I'm going to give it a yay mainly because, I don't know. I don't often see a lot of PC games that I get excited about, well, namely because I have a crap computer. But this is one of those, you know, games that's kind of, for a brief moment, lets you realize that there is still a PC gaming market out there. And it's probably going to be healthy for it, I imagine. So it gets a pity yay from me.
I feel like all the lore and storyline and stuff surrounding StarCraft is a hell of a lot more interesting than the game for me.
Hmm.
Like the whole Kerrigan episode and Arcturus Manx and all that stuff. That's the storyline is compelling, but the actual game I kind of feel is tedious.
Hmm. And you're a nay, right, Christian?
I'm kind of like in between, but more leaning towards nay because I feel the same way you do.
Okay. All right. So next we'll move on to what we've been playing. Who wants to start this week?
Derek does.
Derek, that's great. You volunteered. Good to see some initiative finally.
No. I never give any initiative. Fuck that.
Have you been playing anything at all recently this past month?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing. No. What about an interesting iPhone game or app?
Really?
Solitaire.
Really? Which solitaire game?
Just solitaire.
It's fucking volunteering for that.
It's not even on
right
iPhone. I'm just playing it on my computer.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Solitaire is a
good game. I only play two games. I've been playing Red Dead Redemption and Transformers: War for Cybertron.
Yeah. What? You told me about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that game.
Which one?
Transformers.
Of course.
Solitaire.
It's really good. It's the prequel to the, I guess, like, will we say movies? Or you could say it's a prequel to the movies, but it has no involvement with the movies as far as no human actors, no storyline. But it actually has a really good production design to it. It has that same design that they have in the movies, but now you're on Cybertron, you know, fighting the civil war between Decepticons and Autobots.
Is Cybertron a big metal planet like it was in the cartoon?
It still is. It still is. And actually, I was actually really happy about this. I thought it was going to be just one game that was based off the movie, but then I heard so many reviews, good reviews about it, so just on a whim, just bought it.
I've heard the same.
It's been great. Because, I mean,
does it have that weird pink energy shit from the cartoon? The
Energon? Actually, yeah, Energon's definitely a big part of it. In fact, the storyline is that, you know, you can play the Decepticons in this now. But the Decepticons get a hold of what's called Dark Energon, which is, like, powerful stuff that no one can really handle except Megatron, I guess.
It's probably purple.
Mm-hmm. It's purple. Yes. Dark purple, actually.
Oh, snap. It's got little hints of green in it, too.
But, yeah, Energon is just pretty much your life bars.
It's freaking me out.
Yeah.
Just thinking about that. I think it's funny how their version of energy is just, it's energy with an O-N on the end, Energon. That's so creatively bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. The only thing, you know, I can say about this game that I don't like is that it kind of reminded me that I'm very much grown up with the voice acting and dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
It's never that great. In fact, I remember that from the first Transformers movie where it's, I am Megatron, you know.
That movie had Orson Welles. I believe, in his final role as the as the planet eating gigantic robot. Do you remember that shit?
I did like
what
that.
What a send off.
I think I did like that.
I don't know. That movie, broke my heart. I cried my eyes out when Optimus Prime got killed. Spoilers! Spoilers.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Yeah, too soon.
No, but it's cool though, because everyone has like a different. How do I break this down? Everyone has two weapons. You can pick whichever one, from like heavy assault, like shotguns, to assault rifles, to grenade launchers, to even just like photon blasters. They got a whole range of them. And then everyone's got a special ability where it's like an offensive special ability. Everyone has a defensive special ability.
Like they pull their pants down, like an offensive move? Or?
That's more defensive, I think. You know.
I'm assuming you can switch from like vehicle to robot and stuff, right?
Very quickly.
So
yeah.
Like, do the Decepticons actually have the ability to kind of free fly around? Or
Yeah, they change. You get each level you get to choose three robots. You can whether whichever one you're playing, and it always they mix them up. So like the first one you have like maybe have Megatron, Soundwave, and Barricade. Which that's only like a ground force. One of them turns into a tank, another turns into a car, another one turns into like maybe another.
So there's parts of the level that are planned out for specific kinds
exactly.
Of robots.
Like there's actually one where you play as Starscream or Thundercracker or Star Warp.
Does Starscream have his original voice actor?
No, he does. They do the voice editing to try to get it down there, but it's not the original voice actor. But. No, there is levels where you could play as the jets, and actually the jet levels are pretty fun because you're going all over the map, 360 degrees, nice. Every which way.
That's cool. I was kind of wondering how they would design a game around the idea that you could at any time be a car or a jet, but I guess if they just have different sections of the levels that are designed for those specific things,
and actually
that makes more sense.
What I really like about it, and I was afraid about it, was that I was afraid like transforming would take up a big portion of the combat fighting. Like, I thought they would take time into the animation of it. But actually, it's really fluid. You can go from a car to a jet within 1 second. I mean, a car into a person in 1 second. You can actually charge at a guy, you know, in a car mode, transform right back into, you know, your, I guess, human form.
Yeah.
And then go right into a melee attack really quick. Nice. So it's pretty fluid in the combat.
It sounds fun.
It does, actually.
Like third person over the shoulder.
Have you done any online play with it yet?
No, haven't yet. Like, the levels are actually relatively long. Like, I've been taking at least half an hour or so, or 40 minutes.
I don't know if you noticed that. Is there any kind of, like, co-op online setting into it?
There is some co-op online, and there's co-op online and, I think, co-op on...
like, through the regular levels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, then.
That sounds awesome.
So, bring your friends along.
Is it pretty?
Yes, it's very pretty. Lots of explosions and the world is alive.
Did you just buy it or did you rent it first?
I bought it.
Okay.
Is it like cheap or something? Or?
Mm-hmm. No, it was $60.
I mean, to me that sounds like
a
risk.
You're usually a buyer.
I usually am not, but that one I heard so many good reviews for it, so I said, you know what, I'm going to buy it.
That's cool.
That's cool. Awesome. Yeah, that's cool. I would have thought it completely different because I never would have picked up, even thought about
it. It was the first Transformers game I bought, really, so I'm very happy about that.
Nice.
So, have you been playing much Red Dead?
Oh, yeah, I played a lot of that just before I got Transformers, so...
Quick question. Is it glitchy?
In the Xbox world? Let me try to think. I do have a few glitch moments, but not ones where, like, it has to force me to reset the game or anything like that. Like, I have moments where you'll set up a campfire, you know, where because you want to save your game or do a fast travel, and, like, you'll do it, but your horse and your tent and all your stuff won't be there. You're just crouching. So, that happens maybe one out of, like, 15 times, maybe.
Okay.
But it doesn't ever affect the game where it doesn't pause or freeze anything of it.
I haven't seen many glitches myself. The only real standout one was a guy who was sitting down in thin air. That was about it.
I did get that one. Was that an armadillo where it's like the gang that's in the poker tournament or the poker table?
Yeah, he didn't have a chair to sit on. He was just kind of
He was
sitting, leaning
on thin air.
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch the video of the flying people?
No, I have not.
I can't. I don't know whether it's a glitch or it kind of looks like it's on purpose because the people are flapping their arms. But there's a YouTube video of people in Red Dead, I assume NPCs, like flying around in the sky, and then a guy with a sniper rifle shooting them all out of the sky.
I also heard that somewhere in Red Dead, they like the creators made like a glitch on purpose where there's a donkey you can get, but the skin that they put on it is of a woman, so you can be riding a fat woman donkey.
Jeez.
Somebody told me that. I don't know. They didn't tell me where you can find it, because they didn't know, but they said, like, that's what they heard. That's
hooray for misogyny.
Exactly.
I'll just say now, if someone can send me a picture of that, if you're a listener, then I will find some kind of prize to give you. So
that's awesome.
Just putting that out there.
He'll let you touch his walnut.
The prize of gratitude.
I asked about the glitchiness because I just heard a story from another podcast. I don't know, Final Score podcast, where they had some sort of leveling glitch where they logged in, and just from standing inside, I guess, a battle area, they were leveling up. For doing nothing, then they
you could level up.
Then they would select retry, and go back in and level up again. So like this chick went from level 30, I don't know, 38 or something to level 50.
Are we talking about Red Dead Redemption?
Uh huh.
There's leveling?
No, that's the online component of it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I haven't done the online yet. Okay, sorry. Go on.
I don't know. Well, that sounded like an interesting glitch, but apparently it wasn't widely reported. So maybe it was just a very isolated incident.
Hmm.
I don't know. I have to think that so many of these big games come out with so little testing, it seems like the glitches just seem to get out of control. For example, Fallout 3 comes to mind for me for a really big-ass game that was just full of glitches.
Mm-hmm. There are, some of those games just do kind of feel like it's so big, like I forgive the glitches sometimes, and Fallout is a big example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Great game, but when really, if you had to like go through, if you were actually like grading it with a report card, I mean, there's no way that game would pass.
Well, it would pass, but I would definitely be pissed off that I had to sit and wait for 10 minutes occasionally because the targeting system would suddenly freeze the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just curious. Okay, somebody else, go.
Kristen, what are you doing playing?
Damn it. Frontierville, which is brand new. It actually is brand new. It's actually a really cool game. It's got some pretty interactive stuff. Actual quests in a Zynga game.
Can you die of cholera?
You might be able to. That's my other game. Stop. I'm actually busting out some very Conestoga-y type of games.
If you're going to say Oregon Trail, then
I am.
Okay.
Mm. I'm about to. That's
about
right.
To open it.
Best $4.99 on my iPhone that I've ever spent. That game is awesome.
So Christian has just played Oregon Trail. He has a little bit of catching up to do, but he'll be with us soon.
No, actually, Frontierville is really cool. Really good for a flash game. You can play as much or as little as you want.
I assume it's made by the same people.
Yeah,
Farmville.
Yeah, by Zynga or Zynga.
Are there any other game companies on Facebook? Or is that pretty much
the
one?
Yeah, there's quite a few. Everywhere I turn, I always get some kind of crazy ad next to me. And it says, here, play this new game.
So I'm always wondering if just that Zynga company just owns them all or something.
Yeah. They only have like 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. But the games that they do have are pretty high quality. Yeah. But yeah, this one's fun. I mean, it's pretty heavily reliant upon the people that you play with.
Hmm.
So you have to have neighbors to do things, and you can actually interact with them and help out. And you build your family, and you actually end up with a bunch of people.
Hmm.
It's pretty cool. So yeah, that's what I've been playing, and then of course Oregon Trail.
What's the focus of Frontierville versus Farmville?
Actually, it's to go on a trek. You're actually doing the same kind of thing, like going on Oregon Trail or going to different areas and doing quests for those.
So the game changes from day to day, as opposed
to level to level. Yeah, it changes day to day. It
about doing dailies. Wow,
it is. It's actually really cool. Yeah, it's probably the best 15 minutes of my day. It really is, since I haven't really had much time to play anything else. Been hanging out with the wife and the family.
It's not waking up to the wife. It's Frontierville. That's
you have a family.
20 minutes.
Well, you should get a week.
My cats and my I know I sound like an old
cats come family. Second.
Yes. Yes.
My cat comes first.
Yeah. There you go. But yeah, I've been working a lot on my fish tank too. So, it's the summertime. I have the opportunity to do so. So might as well.
Cool. Yep.
So, I actually tried playing. My wife has. Oh, I'm married now, so I'll be referring to Mandy as my wife.
Oh, man. We lost all of our women crowd now.
Get out.
All the women in the world have just started gnashing their teeth and tearing up their hair, but I'm sorry.
Invest your money into dentist office.
But my wife also has Oregon Trail on her iTouch, and I tried playing it, and it felt like they took a lot of the death and dismemberment out of the game that used to be in the old Mac Apple version, Apple II version that we played in elementary school. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, I lost a son to an eagle or something.
Nice.
But it didn't seem like there was as much of that random element of just, like, death suddenly
I don't know.
Coming in and taking out half your family.
that's the main reason why I never finished Oregon Trail.
It's funny, because after you cross, like, the first river, you know, like, you get to the Kansas River and you're going to, like, ford it or if you're going to ferry it. It seemed like everyone that I end up with gets sick, like, without fail. And I think, you know, it's just weird, you know, because it's random every time, of course, but, I mean, there's only a certain amount of logarithms you could probably go through.
Yeah.
But, for me, I ran that game like a marathon. I would probably pick, like, the worst
Run, damn it!
Yeah, I'd pick the worst character, and you think, oh, let's get a doctor. No, I get the lawyer all the time. And I ran them every time with 1 hour sleep and just little provisions. And it was a marathon to see who can get the furthest. Sometimes they make it to the river, and that's they awesome. Try to cross it or do the river boat, and then they sink. That's where most people always end at there. But some
Running Man, Oregon Trail.
Always. Yeah, it was Running Man. That's what it was.
Always. Now you must fight Sub-Zero.
I just need Professor Sub-Zero to make it.
That's awesome.
Okay.
But nice. Though I do gotta say, take out the death and dismemberment and replace it with eagles stealing boys is kind of funny to me.
Yeah.
Those are really some aggressive eagles. Like, that game has an eagle attacking you every 2 feet, it seems like.
Eagles are one of them.
Primary killers of settlers in danger because we put a manhunt out on them.
Yes.
Were they?
That's what I hear.
Yeah?
It's on a game.
Very nice.
Anything else, Christian?
Really just playing around with my Star Trek character. I've made a third character. And
how's that game? Is it still addictive?
It is, actually. I bought a whole bunch of stuff at the C store. They've got a lot more new things, you know, new outfits, new characters, new abilities. It's pretty cool.
Wait, you have to pay money for abilities?
No, just extra cool stuff, you know, just little things.
Okay, I was about to be all upset.
Yeah, there's no way that they would do that, and, you know, I mean, that would be crazy.
I need to pay $5.99 for a photon laser?
What?
Okay.
Please swipe card on side of monitor.
No.
Thank you.
Aiden?
Well, I don't really have much new. I think last time I explained I had a hard-on for Mod Nation Racers. I bought that game.
And you finally realized how crappy it is?
Nope. I'm loving it.
Alright.
I'm loving every bit of it.
Have they been updating that a lot? Like,
yeah, it gets updated, but it's not really updated with things you really need. Hmm. Like, mainly so far, and it is still a new game, they've only really come out with, like, you can download this special costume pack we came out with. Like, here's a vampire, and here's a little lady in a teacup. Nothing I need. So I'm kind of glad. I don't want them to come out with something that I'm required to buy to enjoy the game.
A lot more interesting to have something to, like, make the racetrack more interesting with, probably.
Yeah, but, I mean, they've pretty much got all that I can think of for making racetracks. I mean, they've got bombs,
they have helicopters.
Pits. Okay, and they don't have helicopters.
Well, they should get helicopters.
Game. It's a kart racing game.
So?
So no helicopters.
There should be a helicopter, like, holding a piece of the track in midair that you have to jump up to.
They do have a...
What game was that?
They do have suspended tracks in midair that you can actually put there and drive over
but
there.
But not from helicopters.
Not from helicopters, though. All
just
right.
From God's
what a piece
will.
Of crap.
Yeah. But no, I mean, as someone who, you know, I liked Mario Kart back in the day, but this is just the most fun I've had with the racer since maybe Burnout Paradise. You can adjust the acceleration and the speeds. You can fine-tune the controls a bit so it plays a little bit easier. And it's cool just to, you know, make a character and then go on, race a bunch of random people. It's pretty simple to jump into and simple to jump out of. And I don't feel like I have to create racetracks.
Does it bother you at all that whenever you're racing a bunch of random people, it's always six-year-olds? Or?
Well, that's why I turn off the voice chat, so I don't know.
Okay.
Because
all the profanity gets to you eventually.
I don't see the point in needing people to talk to me when I'm racing in a kart racer.
Well,
you know?
At least it's not like some chat roulette thing. It's just a bunch of dudes jerking off.
Yeah, that's. I'm waiting for Kinect to come out so we can see more of that during Joyride. I'll give it a whole new name, won't it? But no, this is a game that
standard mode
that I keep having fun with, you know, and it's fun just to level up through it, get, you know, experience, and it's fun just to go to the main lobby and ram into people and harass them. But yeah, that's pretty much what the new game that I've been playing mostly. And then I came into some, you know, a few extra bucks this month here, so I went back and I started rebuying some of the games that I had sold along the way, and I bought Assassin's Creed, because I had a lot of fun with Assassin's Creed 2. I'm like falling in love more and more with that game every day. But I got Assassin's Creed 1 because that was the first PlayStation 3 game that I bought, and it took me a while to really get the hang of it, but now that I've played through Part 2, I kind of understand the story more, and I kind of appreciated the first one a bit more. It's not a perfect game. I mean, you still got to run down a mountain every time you want to go to, you know, one of the opening levels, but you know, the sword play mechanics itself I thought were pretty cool, pretty interesting. So I'm having some fun with that. I just beat it the other day. You know, I think it's worth $20 right now, for sure.
So you think you're going to buy back a lot of the stuff that you sold?
Not all of it, but I bought Little Big Planet again. I originally sold that because they had the Game of the Year edition, which has all the extra content. I bought that because, I don't know, I have a girlfriend right now, and I thought maybe I'll get some two-player games again.
Trying to force her to play some?
Exactly. It's harder because she's a girl, so I don't expect much to come from it. But I'm still having some fun with the game.
I think if it were a tighter platform game, like the controls were tighter, that it would be a lot more fun for me. Yeah. As it is, it feels kind of loosey-goosey when you're running through the levels, and things always feel like you could grab this, but you might not because the controls are so random sometimes, or the mechanics are so random.
Yeah, I can see that. There is a bit of a float to each character's jump. But, I don't know, you were playing it earlier, Christian. What did you think of the game?
I loved it. I thought it was a great game. If I had the console for it, I would definitely buy it.
It's a great experience when you first play this game, I admit. It can get old when you realize you're playing the same 2D levels over and over again. But it's... and I don't think there's as much they can do to new in the game that can really impress me anymore. It had a good long run with it.
Like, the user-created levels are always either something that basically you just walk left to right and look at the visuals that they've put together, and there's nothing really going on.
There are some of those.
Or it's just a play off of another video game.
Mm. Like a recreation of a...
I don't know. There have been some creative ones there. Like, I thought when you first play one of the roller coaster coaster levels that someone makes, and they make a giant roller coaster that goes somewhere, that's pretty cool.
But it's still just even though the only mechanic left to right.
Right, even though the only mechanic is really just holding the R1 button. I don't know. They recently added water in there in the game, so you can do some fun things with that. Like there was a jet ski race in there. Adds the component of, and once you're underwater, you can only be there for such a limited amount of time. Just some neat things that people have done with that so far. So I don't know. I think it's worth. I think it's like $30, but you're getting all the extra content that a lot of people have already put into the game. So you're getting a lot more levels out of it. So I'm glad I bought that again.
What about you said that there was something about. Well, maybe we'll cover that in a minute, but the second one.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a bit.
Okay.
No, we can get to it now, actually. I don't think we'll take a lot of time now to think about it. The second game looks...
Does the second one have, like, multiple camera angles and that kind of thing?
There's still a lot I don't know about the second one just yet. One of the things about this year's E3 is Sony made a lot of announcements beforehand, so I don't think their press conference packed as big a punch as it could have. But at the same time, the year before, they did such a terrible job keeping secrets, so I kind of suspect that they made these announcements before people could, you know, release them. But maybe they're under pressure or something. But the concept behind Little Big Planet 2, as I understand it, is that it's more like a game creator than an actual level creator. So you'll be able to go in and make things like potentially first-person shooters. I saw someone make a really cool Asteroids game out of it.
Cool.
They said that they got maybe like the top 10 creators of Little Big Planet to go in there and experiment with the game, and for like maybe they gave them like 3 hours just to figure out the tools on their own without any instructions, and they came up with some pretty cool stuff that they showed at E3. So it could be good. In my experience with Little Big Planet, I learned that I am really not as dedicated a creator as I'd like to be. So I really just enjoy playing the game just for the levels. So I kind of wonder how easy is it going to be to create a game or create these levels. So, you know, if they can do it right, if they can make it so it's, you know, just engaging enough so that you want to make your own game, then that's great. I don't know if they can or not, but I think that either way they're still going to have a lot of people going into the game, a lot of creative people who are going to play that game, especially considering that you can port your levels from Little Big Planet 1 over to Part 2. So there's definitely some potential there. I just don't know enough about it yet to really make a call on it. But, you know, I'm excited about it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of interesting that, I mean, I personally have invested hours and hours. I mean, like, it would add up to probably weeks, literally, of time that I've invested doing RPG Maker 2000 back in the day. And I kind of got the impression that you had spent a fair amount of time, like, doing your Albuquerque level and stuff like that as well.
I did two games for that thing.
I wonder, I mean, it doesn't feel to me like RPG Maker is as flexible as Little Big Planet, but at the same time, I could never see myself sitting and wanting to make anything with Little Big Planet, personally. But, I mean, like I said, I spent literally probably weeks making stuff for RPG Maker 2000. And I feel like a large part of that is because it felt a lot more personal to me to make stuff for RPG Maker 2000, and Little Big Planet, it all kind of looks the same to me.
You are kind of limited to that world, whereas in RPG Maker, you could pretty much upload your stuff from the computer.
Well, I was making my own art for that thing for a long time as well, and I don't know. I feel like there is a creator in me that can be stirred to action, but Little Big Planet isn't the game that's going to do it
it's
for
not
me.
The medium for you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Interesting. I must have not known about this RPG Maker 2000.
It basically makes old Super Nintendo RPGs. Really? Along those lines.
It's like a program you can download mostly off torrent.
Really?
Yeah. There was never a true PC version for it in English, but a guy from Russia translated it into English from the Japanese and put it up. And there was a pretty large community built around it about 10 years ago. I don't know about now. Probably
sounds
not
like
anymore.
Some black market stuff you're dealing with.
No,
pretty
much.
It's the community.
Remember, I could. Some people could create like remade levels from Link to the Past and that. That thing, because you could download the sprites and all that.
It was a versatile program. There was a game I played that somebody had made where there was a Donkey Kong level where you were like hopping over barrels and stuff. If you're good enough at programming, you could make that thing do a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Little Big Planet isn't the one that's going to get me going for it. Like I said, it's.
Well, no, there's some neat features in it I think are pretty interesting. Like they added the ability to create bots in the game, like extra characters. And you can make them speak, you can record your voice over them, make them say things, you can control their movements on the screen. So I think, knowing something like that, I think that there could be a lot more to this game that, you know, that there might be something there for you there, Jeremy, if it's done right. I mean, they said it, that you could literally make any kind of game you want, so maybe they could make an RPG.
Until you decide to put like a penis in your game or something along those lines.
Yeah, when I downloaded the Little Big Planet level
in your game.
When I presumed that there had been some heavy censorship in that game because it's very kid friendly.
Uh-huh.
But then I did come across a level that was entirely made of dirt.
And
everything
jokes.
You stepped on was just, you know, a giant turd with that wafting brown scent coming from everything. And that squishy noise when you stepped on stuff.
But that's not a boner.
But there'll be stuff that'll get away with it. No, there was a poop-shaped boner at the end of the level.
A poop-shaped boner or a boner-shaped poop?
It was a poop-shaped boner. Oh, man, you're right. Damn.
Oh, the semantics of turd boners. Anything else you've been playing?
Nope, that's about it, actually. Most of this month, just Assassin's Creed and Modern Nation Racers. I talked about Red Dead Redemption last time, so I'm playing a little bit of that. You know, I've kind of hit, actually, a little bit of a wall in Red Dead Redemption. I haven't really gone back to play it in a while. Don't know why. Maybe I just gotta try it, give it another go, but,
I kind of
get that to that point, like a Grand Theft Auto game, you know?
There's
a point
some
where you just
kind of
stop caring. Yeah.
And like in the missions, there wasn't a whole lot of creativity. It's just go over here, shoot this, shoot that. Once in a while, you get on a horse chase, and then you're shooting more people. Granted, you know, I like the combat, and it's fluid, and, you know, I really feel good, you know, gatling people down or shotguns on wolves and everything.
Feels good.
But there is like a, I think if there is any glitch, there's probably way too many damn wolves in that game. I swear,
like,
I'm committing
genocide. Borderlands with their goddamn dog creatures. And
yeah, I think I'm committing genocide. And you know, out of respect, I skin them all and sell them. But I mean, yeah, I'm coming back into town with like 15 wolf pelts. Like every time I go out into the wilderness,
is there a limit to what you can carry in the game?
Like, not that I've known.
Like a weight limit or something?
No, no, not at all.
Like Elder Scrolls 3, you are over-encumbered.
Yes.
Yeah. You are moving slowly.
You are carrying 400 wolf pelts. Oh, dear God! I'm so warm!
It's the desert.
All right. What about you, Jeremy? You been playing anything?
Have I?
You had a busy month, so.
Very little that is actually new. My 2-week hiatus from regular life for my honeymoon kind of put a crimp in my... Yeah, exactly.
It just sucks when marriage gets in the way of gaming, right? I know.
Put a crimp in my boner.
In your
And in my game playing abilities as well.
My game boner.
Sometimes they are one and the same.
But,
joystick.
A couple things I've been playing. I hope I didn't mention this last time, but I wanted to talk about it just in case. Split Second.
Yeah.
There was some contention, I guess, at the store whether I was going to get Blur or Split Second, and some dude was trying really hard to get me to buy Blur, but Split Second sounded a little more interesting to me. Have any of you played this?
I've seen it.
I played the demo of Split Second.
Yeah, the premise is it's a TV show and shit's blowing up all around you, and the idea is that you can trigger things to blow up the other racers.
Wow.
So then you get ahead. It bothers me a little bit that the game is made by Disney Interactive, but I can put that aside, I guess, since it's a fun game.
Yeah, Michael Eisner is Satan.
Well, I think that all Disney products tend to be soulless shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, and in a sense, I suppose this game is too, but it's fun, so fuck it.
Hey, I've worked on a TV show for Disney.
So, like, you build up a meter on the bottom of your screen that can fill up to three regular attacks. Mm-hmm. And then if you get the fourth one filled, then it's like a super uber attack. And you build up the meter by drifting.
Kind of like Mod Nation Racers, actually.
Yeah. Tokyo Drift.
And I think you can also build it up by, like, driving behind other racers, that kind of thing. But when you trigger an attack, it, like, blows up a bus. And then the bus will, like, flip, flaming out onto the road in front of everybody. And you can accidentally drive into it and fuck yourself over.
In the demo, there was a cool one. You could, like, knock a burning building over and then land on the track. That was pretty cool.
That was one of the Uber attacks, and it knocks something like the Space Needle down onto the track, and then you drive through it, and it alters the route that you drive through, like you're driving over the tops of buildings then.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really fun, although it has the same problem for me that Prototype and the Spider-Man games had, which is that the entire time you're playing...
Voice acting.
No. You have to hold down the bottom right trigger, and that makes my pointer finger so tired after a while.
I do have to agree with that, yeah. I had that problem with Prototype and Web of Shadows, mm-hmm. holding down the right trigger button.
Like, and you can rearrange the buttons, but the way they have them set up, it makes sense. It just fucking sucks to hold that trigger down for the entire time that you're playing, because I had to switch between my pointer finger and my middle finger to give them breaks because they were both getting so, like, crampy and tired.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Can you change the control scheme in the game?
You can, but I don't know. I felt myself liking their control scheme the way it was set up because, like, the small attacks light up blue things of the other players to let you know that they're able to be attacked.
Yeah.
So then you press the blue button. That makes sense to me, and I didn't want to screw around with that. But it does suck to, like, have your fingers being destroyed actively by the game while you're playing it. And I found myself playing long past when I was able to, like... long past my desire to tolerate the pain of playing it.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend Split Second. My only problem with it, really, other than that control scheme thing,
mm-hmm.
is that there only seem to be really, so far that I've played, two areas to drive around, but they're like vast.
Like open worlds?
They're not open worlds, but they switch the way that you move through them for each track. So, like, in one track, you're seeing a completely different part of the same existing world where there's, like, docks and elevated freeways and that kind of thing. So it stays kind of fresh, even though the scenery kind of stays pretty similar through a lot of the game. I've also been really, really happy to be playing Left 4 Dead lately. Left 4 Dead 1 and 2. They just came out with a DLC for Left 4 Dead 1 that's like a user-created map called I Hate Mountains. Uh-huh. And it was made by three dudes, I think from England, who worked on it for over a year.
And they must really, really hate mountains.
So much that they have studied them.
Well, it's funny because this map, it takes a long time to load because it is so much more complex and filled with just stuff like decorations and piles of crap all over the place and like houses full of, I mean, stuff that Valve tends not to put in because it makes load times longer and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the map is so beautiful and it's so much more complicated than any of the Valve maps. And I would have to think that Valve is kind of maybe a little embarrassed by this, because when they put out their new DLC maps,
right,
everybody always kind of is underwhelmed. For example, there was The Passing that just came out for Left 4 Dead 2 a couple months ago, and everybody played through it and was like, that's it? And they played through this user-created map for Left 4 Dead 1, like, God, that is fucking awesome. I mean, it's just, and it even kind of tweaks with the I guess, how the game system works for Left 4 Dead 1. So they do things with the game mechanics that Valve hadn't thought to do themselves.
Wow, it's rare you see I guess not rare in the PC world, but it's rare you see the users creating something better than the creators.
Yeah,
that happens a lot. So, I mean, they can rechange a lot of things.
I would really hope that Valve would take this map and clean it up and make it an official map. That would be really cool. Because, I mean, it's not without its problems. It does have issues where you can kind of get lost, because Valve has a kind of game philosophy of, like, follow the light, and these guys don't have that, and so you can kind of be wandering around, having stuff kick the shit out of you without knowing if you're going the right direction. Mm. For Left 4 Dead 2, they've been continuing to do these mutation things every week, and that's just like a basic change to the core game mechanics in some way. Like, a recent one was you're the single survivor by yourself, and it's just to see how far you can get in the level before you die, because you will die.
Yeah.
And then they just did an encore recently of the chainsaw one, which is just the only weapons in the game are chainsaws with infinite gas. And it's just four dudes with chainsaws running around the level trying not to kill each other.
Dangerous.
That was really, really fun. I played through a group on Hard Rain, the level that's full of witches and stuff like that, and it was pretty fun. I hope they make that a permanent feature. Due to the huge, huge, huge Steam sale, I bought PB Winterbottom on Steam for the computer. It's kind of like a puzzle game where you're stealing pies by freezing.
Bad pie.
Yeah, by freezing time. So you freeze time, then you let it go, and it makes a clone of you, which you can then use to, I don't know, like jump on a seesaw or kick him off a cliff so that he touches pie and gets it for you, or flips a switch, whatever. It's really fun, and I actually didn't buy it for the game itself, but because I like the soundtrack so much in the trailers.
Oh.
It's kind of Tim Burton-esque soundtrack. Not with the la 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 parts, so much as the kind of rolling bass and and kind of bouncy. So I would highly recommend checking that out, if only to hear the music for it.
I love soundtracks.
And last of all, also from Steam, Monkey Island 1,
yeah,
special edition. The funny thing is, my girlfriend has been playing through it more than me, so we're taking turns. But I love the first Monkey Island. My wife. It has one of my favorite all-time fight mechanics, which is that of insult sword fighting, where you win the fight not by pressing buttons correctly, but by selecting the correct insult. So that's cool.
If only life could be that way. It's awesome.
Yeah, it can be. It depends on the situation.
Not for me.
That's what rap battles are like.
That's about it for me.
Poetry slam.
Yeah.
Snap. A yo mama off. I don't know.
I heard that somewhere, guys. That. That sounds cool, though.
I'm done.
Cool.
Nice.
Fuck it.
Finally. Woo! God, shut up already.
God almighty.
Thank you for that. That was very educational and enlightening.
Yes.
I
love having you here, Jeremy, and I respect you as a person and a personality. on this podcast.
Yes. Thank you.
As he says it below the actual audio range of the microphone.
I'll edit it later. Okay, of course, the big reason that we're doing such a late podcast this month, aside from scheduling conflicts for once, is the Electronic Entertainment Expo E3 happened. So there's a lot of big news, a lot of big announcements going on in gaming that will tell us what we're probably going to be playing mostly in the year 2011. So I thought we'd maybe talk about some of the press conferences that came up, see if there's anything we're excited about, anything we're not excited about. And I thought we would start with the Xbox conference.
Yay!
Now, pretty much the big announcements that came out of this conference was, of course, the renaming of Project Natal to Kinect, which I found it funny because every podcast I listened to had trouble pronouncing that word, Kinect.
I thought it was Kinect.
Kinect.
Oh, I thought Natal was natal, so...
Yeah. There were some cool demos I thought out of it. But to be honest, my overall impression of the press conference is that, I don't know, I didn't see anything really new that came from Microsoft's conference to me.
It seems like Microsoft and Sony are all pretty excited about the ability to watch crap that it isn't involved with games on their systems.
Like so?
Hulu.
Like the multimedia race.
Facebook.
And sports.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of that coming
Facebook
out.
Facebook and all this shit.
I'd say probably the big announcements for Microsoft was, of course, they renamed Natal to Kinect. They got a new design for the Xbox 360 and probably...
99.
Excuse me. And, oh, now I can't breathe. And I guess the announcement of the ESPN service coming to Xbox, compatible with Natal. But those seem to be the big ones. They also, of course, showed a demo of Metal Gear Solid Rising, which I thought looked pretty cool.
I actually am kind of disappointed in that.
Oh, yeah?
You shouldn't just call it Metal Gear, then. There was, like, nothing about...
Well, it's not
about
Metal Gear Solid. It's Metal Gear Rising. It's a new chapter in the series.
Yeah,
even though it actually, from what I heard, is in fact a prequel of the fourth game. It fills in the backstory.
Holy fuck, you've lost me. You're saying this is a new chapter, but it's a prequel?
It fills in the events
you're saying
part
like
2 and part 4, because part 3 was a prequel to part 1.
Oh my god, you're saying that like this is a new chapter at the author's notes or the author's thankings in a book.
Metal Gear started losing me around Metal Gear Solid 3, and this isn't winning me back. It's just more of the same.
Well, did you guys... Has anyone here actually seen the game in motion yet?
Yeah.
And you did?
Yeah.
Didn't do it for you?
No, I mean... I'm hoping that it was just like how they did before, where it was just a teaser.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I saw, it was just... All I can do is just cut people, but I can also cut them diagonally.
When
I
saw them...
I can also cut them
slow
sideways.
Motion, the guy could literally shish kebab a guy. He could literally slice and dice a guy in midair. I thought that was pretty cool, and especially the part where he... cut the van in half with your sword. I thought that was pretty awesome too. It's clearly that it's not going to be a stealth that game like the Metal Gear Solids are.
You can stealthily cut a van in half. I've done it.
But from what I've read, it's more about well, the van never knew it was coming, right?
Yeah, of course.
But it is going to be designed more like an action game, really. And I don't know. I'm excited about it. I thought that was cool.
I'll definitely play it, but I just don't think they should call it Metal Gear, you know, or anything like that. Because
distancing itself from Metal Gear Solid. They're still making Metal Gear Solid games.
If you want to distance yourself, you just call it something else, you know? It's like distancing yourself from an ex-girlfriend. You don't keep the number, you get rid of it, and you erase everything, you burn
the pictures. So you're mad that it's not distanced enough from Metal Gear.
Exactly. It's a horror version of Metal Gear Solid. It's a whore child of a Metal Gear Solid. It doesn't know what it wants to be. It doesn't want to be a chapter, but at the same time, it's like, oh, wait a minute, we broke up, but I still want to be in your house here by being a prequel.
I just like that you called it a whore child.
It is a whore child. Wow. No, it does look very
slightly
pretty.
More freckles.
That's awesome. Though it does look kind of pretty.
Well, everything looks pretty these days. Mm. I'm curious, like, now we're getting further into Natal / Kinect whatever development. We've all been pretty, I think, unanimous before on being fairly disinterested in Natal. Is that still the same for everybody? Because it is for me.
I'm giving myself a few days. When I saw the preview, I kind of got caught up in the hype and it looked kind of cool. There's still some questions that need to be answered. Like, one, when it comes to selecting things, what's the hand motion? All I saw was a girl hold her hand up, and then all of a sudden things got selected. What do you have to do for that?
I think one of the good questions was, what happens with people who have accents?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah. I heard a lot of people on the, they were saying, a lot of people on the floor were saying, before you try out Project Connect here, or Connect, do you have a thick accent? Because apparently I might have some trouble recognizing very heavy accents.
There's another lotion in the boss.
And another thing, too, can I sit down for it?
Yeah, that's another good question that's being asked.
Because they're all standing up for that.
See, that's why I play video games, because I don't like to stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
But it's actually kind of weird, because I sit down so much when I play video games that I have to stand up to get blood to the legs. So, a little weird in that. Two things I did like from Kinect was, I guess, as a tech geek kind of thing, is how the camera actually tracks you, so you can actually move across the room a little bit more, so you have a wider range of space to work with. And I also like the video chat session.
I think that's largely dependent on where you live.
Yeah.
And what kind of furniture you've got, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Yeah.
But also like the video chat where it's you can be chatting with like your brother or someone like from two states away, and you can watch a movie together. But like only one of you has to have that movie, so you can be sharing movies online with each other. That's about all I like. You know, I can accept it as like a social networking kind of entertainment source. Mm-hmm. As far as like being a video game like revolutionary thing, like the new Wii, no thank you.
Would you pay $150 for it?
In my thrifty state of mind right
yes,
now?
Right now. Would you? Go. First thought.
No.
No?
No.
How much would you pay for it?
$80 maybe.
80? What about 100?
No.
About 85.
87.50.
Why are we going up?
Sold.
I don't know.
That's the price that a lot of retailers are posting it at right now. It hasn't been made official, but...
I think it actually has...
No, it hasn't made official by now? Well, maybe
I
not.
I think so.
No, I haven't seen anything official. They've been ranged it at like $150.
Right.
But yeah, it's hard for me to say because I'm so thrifty with my money. I'm very cautious about how I spend my money, except for Transformers.
In defense of Kinect, from my end here, I do recall at some point, I was young, very long time ago, and I was watching the Jetsons, and there was a scene where like someone was, whenever they talked to the boss, they talked to him for like a video conference, you know. Mr. Spacey would be like, Jetson, no, why aren't you at work?
No, you're thinking of Demolition Man.
Oh, maybe that.
Or maybe Back to the Future?
I don't know, but there's plenty of movies where you're talking to a guy face-to-face instead of, like, over the phone. And I thought, you know, wow, you know, someday it's going to be like that. Yes. Nowadays, I don't think that's such a good idea, because I'm like, you know, what if you're not dressed or something, you know?
But
that exact thing happened in Demolition Man, dude.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about Demolition Man.
Next thing you know, we'll be using three shells to crap.
But I do think it's kind of cool in that I think if something like this were to catch on, it would be cool that you see, I don't know, video conferencing taking place, being a lot more active. It does look very futuristic, very Minority Report.
That's the word I was thinking.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Minority Report.
Being able to go in there and just kind of choose the button and say, you know, I want this, move this here, and then do that.
I think that's what I liked about it. It is futuristic.
I did think it was kind of funny, the voice commands. People saying stuff like, Xbox on.
Xbox on.
Yeah.
Xbox play music.
Yes. I mean,
it really got epic.
In the future, Xbox, porn, hardcore, go, you know?
I mean,
where the potential with that is there.
Asian one butt cup. Sluts.
One cup.
Barely. Yeah, exactly. So
you have chosen barely legal.
And what if someone says something that sounds like that, you know? Like, I'm going to a private school. Let's see, you know, what my little daughter thinks of becoming a Catholic schoolgirl. And then, you know, the wrong thing comes
up. So are you
up.
Asking, can I hide my porn well in this?
Yes. That is exactly
that's
what I'm asking.
That's what computers are for.
Mm-hmm. that's what external hard drives are for.
Can you get a male or female Kinect?
But as far as Kinect go, I'm not... Too sweet.
Milo's back. You want to play with Milo? Oi, governor.
I want to hurt Milo.
Call blimey, you want to play with Milo?
Out and strangle him. And choke him. There were some things I think
fish
we'll catch
and chips.
On.
Fish it? And chips.
Have some crisps.
Bugger.
I know, the first thing I thought of when Wii came out was, when are we going to get, like, a Star Wars game where you get to play with a lightsaber that's actually kind of cool? And they did show a demo at that at the very end of their Kinect slideshow or whatever. It looks okay, but honestly, I don't think it's going to play as well as it looked like it did on screen. I imagine, because I can't imagine how it can possibly track a laser beam that you can actually hit. I mean, I don't think anyone's that fast with a sword, unless you're a ninja samurai.
My large disinterest in that kind of idea stems from the fact that there's not the possibility of any kind of, not pun not intended, force feedback. Kind of the same way that I feel I have a hard time controlling Wii games where you're driving by tilting the controller.
Yeah.
there's nothing to stop you from just swinging it down into the floor, except for the visual of it stopping on the screen, and that is stupid to me. Like, you just have to fucking be snapping your wrist around in little tiny movements to match what's on the screen or something.
It's sort of the thing with the Wii, like, when you realize that all you really have to do is just kind of shake your fist a lot to beat an enemy, you know, that's when, you know, all that suspension of disbelief.
Gracious swordplay becomes hand jerking.
Yeah.
Infrared.
But,
There needs to be some sort of way to limit your movement, otherwise it's just you flailing around like an idiot.
Mm-hmm. I'll pay to see that.
The ESPN thing was kind of cool, but from what I understand, you can pretty much do that exact same thing at ESPN3.com, except for you can't just vote with your avatars over which team you like better. Mm-hmm. But the concept is still there online, you know, being able to go see any game you want anytime and so forth. And I'm sure there'll be some more stuff like that from ESPN. I'm sure that they would spread out to other systems eventually.
I'm sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sports are boring.
I will applaud, of course, the redesign of the Xbox 360 if it holds up to its Red Ring of Death resistance phase.
Do you know it can't get
a Red Ring of Death.
Do you like how they took that feature off?
I anticipated that they would.
And now, no Red Ring of Death!
Right, because there's no more rings on it. Yeah. But, I don't know, if it holds up as well, I mean, that'd be a great selling point for Xbox.
Though, I don't know if they ever answered...
Because that's all that really was stopping me from getting an Xbox.
I don't know if they ever answered the question.
So the problem that caused the Red Rings of Death was the fucking thing overheating.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than fix the overheating problem, what they've done is just make it have an auto shutdown for when it does. That's not a fucking solution. That's terrible.
Well, we've got to give it a few months, see what the failure rate is.
Yeah, they didn't answer the question with Kinect for me because with the release of the new Xbox, you know, they say that it's ready for Kinect. Does that mean that the old Xboxes cannot get Kinect?
No, that was just meant to confuse you. They can all get Kinect.
Okay, good. See, then I don't give a shit about the new one.
By saying Kinect ready, I guess it's just some way to associate Kinect with the new
Xbox. Yeah, it definitely got me caught up there.
And they're like, all right, I can't get to get one, so I can...
Kinect!
Get one, yeah, so you can connect to it. Yeah.
But my Wi-Fi is not connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, moving on.
Anything else there? I guess one of the popular games there was Harmonix's Dance Central, where, of course, it's metal, but with dancing, you know.
I actually skipped over the video game section of watching that conference, because I was confident I would not like any of them.
You were probably right.
All right, then.
But I did stop there when I was fast-forwarding, and just for 1 second said, ooh, no.
Okay.
Ooh, no.
Ooh. That looks awesome. And the game sucks.
Oh, no.
Because I remember when I first talked to you, if you had seen the conference, you said you were pretty excited by it, and you would just skip all the games, huh?
I used to be a pretty avid DDR player. Mm-hmm. It's probably the Korean in me. But I haven't been playing
it you a StarCraft player?
For years, because I live in an upstairs apartment, and I don't want to stomp on someone's head. And... So I own, like, a whole bunch of DDR games and no dance pad anymore because it's like I can't use it without feeling like I'm...
Being an
fucking,
asshole?
Yeah, like, fucking over my neighbors really bad. So I would actually like to be able to play one of those games. I don't imagine that I would be able to really bring myself to be able to work out regularly in any other way, honestly. And this is coming from somebody who owns a treadmill. Those things are excellent at gathering dust, by the way.
Aww.
And I enjoy, like, dancing games. I think they can be a lot of fun, but I would like to move out of my upstairs apartment before I try to play another one.
Okay. That would look pretty interesting. I don't know. As long as they got a good music selection, it could be fun.
Lots of Britney Spears.
Probably. Yeah. I know that I heard that downloadable content's going to be like $2.99 for a song instead of
$1.99.
Maybe we can have some Metallica in the playlist, too.
I thought it was kind of funny that right after that, in the next conference, the Nintendo's conference, they announced like Just Dance 2.
which is pretty much the same thing, but you need the Wiimote to coordinate where your arms are flailing.
You know what?
And it looked really bad following that game there.
I feel like Konami has a pretty large body of fairly varied and decent dance music for their DDR / Beatmania / whatever games. I feel like if they could have been cashing in on it a lot more in these past several years, if they would have set up a website where you select like 100 songs and they put it together on a disc for you and send it to you. It doesn't seem like, I mean, maybe for an extra charge for the personalization of it and everything, but it doesn't seem like it'd be that hard to give people a disc of exactly what they want instead of a disc that has about 25% songs that you like and the rest you hate intensely.
Sounds like KTEL.
Sounds too easy. Why not just make them buy it through DLC?
Well, that's essentially what the disc would be doing. I don't know. I just feel like Konami has missed the boat on this because they have this huge body of stuff that's available, but they don't use it for anything good.
Didn't they come out with Rock Legends or something like that? Which they had a Guitar Hero like game that they tried to sue Red Octane for originally.
Yeah, I think you can buy it for like $1.
Yeah,
brand new at the game store.
It's
right
all
now.
Just because they didn't jump
Rock
on
Revolution.
The right way. Rock Revolution. Yeah. Well, anyway, let's move on. On the Nintendo conference, it was a pretty big one from all the news outlets. Say, it started off with Zelda, Legend of Zelda: Skyward Sword. And the concept behind this game is that for the first time you can use your Wii and your nunchuck, and your Wiimote will act as the sword while your nunchuck will act as your shield. And through this, you'll play it through like a first-person perspective where you can actually block and you can actually deflect.
That sounds so unappealing to me that I just want to crap myself.
Me too.
It was a good-looking game. It looked like the Wind Waker graphics to me, but like with an adult Link, which I hope they kind of stick with. But as far as Zelda goes, I think that this was the year that everyone was expecting Zelda to be something dramatically different. And at the end of the day, it still seems like it's the same kind of formula. It's still, you know, you're going to start out a young boy who's going to be woken up by his childhood friend who's going to go find a first dungeon where he finds the Master Sword. Then he's going to...
Hey!
Yes, he's going to move to different dungeons, and it's going to be the same formula. I could be wrong, but that's what I got from it. And if the really only difference...
Look here! Hey!
You know, and a lot of that...
Grumble, grumble.
I actually think that a first-person Legend of Zelda would be significantly worse to play, honestly. I mean, I can understand the whole wanting to do the first-person Red Steel-style slashing game, whatever. But the whole point of Legend of Zelda is that you've been able to like see where he is in the playfield and fight bosses by like...
Well, I think there was still a third-person perspective. I guess first-person isn't really the right word. I'd say it plays kind of like imagine like Gears of War first-person, where you see the first, you see the character, but it still plays like a first-person.
It's been so long since I've been interested in a Zelda game that I mean, they really...
Now, they had some tech issues during the demo where the...
This is the milking machine that takes 50 gallons, is what Nintendo is.
Yeah.
And Zelda is one tired-ass cow.
Mm. But it definitely took the momentum out of that demonstration for me, because as a Wii owner, I was from there with many times when I'd be playing a Wii game, and I move my controller slightly off-screen, and the controller itself cursor gets stuck in the corner, and I've got to flail the Wii remote around trying to get it back on screen. And when it happened to Miyamoto on stage, I thought, oh, I've been there before, I know what's going on. And they all said, no, someone has radio interference in the crowd. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, I don't know, but it looked all too familiar to me.
So the problem was actually your little brother in his room with his ham radio?
Yeah.
All right.
A good game that I thought that came out of it was Kirby's Epic Yarn. I've been waiting for a Kirby game for a long time. The basic premise here is you're Kirby, but you're made of yarn, and so is the world around you. And it looks like you use the Wiimote to affect the world. Like, you can... Like, I saw that in the demo, he was doing things like unzipping a building, and it would fall down and change the landscape behind him.
Huh. Unstitching things.
Yeah. Nice. I thought it was... It looked cool, but I didn't see any of the original Kirby mechanics take place. Like, I didn't see him swallowing enemies and gaining their powers.
But that's what he did before. I mean...
Yeah, but that's what I would expect him to keep doing.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I'm not saying it made the game look bad, but I'm kind of wondering how...
Every time they make an iteration of Zelda and it's the same, people are like, meh. and now they're doing something different for Kirby, and probably everybody's going to respond like you, of like the, hey, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. And
well, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I think the innovation is a lot more appealing than the, okay, because he's sucking shit up again.
Well, to me, the first time I played a Kirby game was on...
sucking?
Well, the first time I played a Kirby game was on Game Boy, and I beat that game so fast, because it was really such an easy game. You can literally fly over the levels in the game and just go straight to the end. And I often wondered, if they were to make like a full console version of this game, how would they do it? How would they make it so it's not that easy? And they came out with like Kirby Superstars for SNES, where they made him have like little characters that he rode on, and they each had different abilities. But of course, by riding these characters, the game is sort of tricking you. It's actually making the game more hard, because all these characters are limited to the scope of the game. They can't fly. They can only do things a certain way. But you need to get on these characters to progress. So it's kind of, you had this, this invincible character.
The original design of Kirby was too strong.
I do. I think so, yeah. But and I think, of course, the only way to improve that would be a better game mechanic or level design. So I've always wondered, you know, if they redid Kirby, how would they do it? And I think, you know, you've got a good point there. They've got to reinvent the wheel, so to speak.
Here. I think what you're talking about is exactly what they did to Sonic, and nobody liked what they did with Sonic. Like Sonic and his shitty friends.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody liked playing as Big the Cat. Well, maybe you did. You're a Sonic guy.
I didn't like Big the Cat.
Nobody wants for Kirby to be riding shitty friends around, I think.
But now he's got a whole different gameplay mechanic. So, you know, it looked like a cool game. I just thought I was pretty interested to see how it turned out. You guys didn't see any of this, did you?
Given that it's based on yarn, I would hope that one of his powers is stabbing knitting needles through people's eyes. That would be cool.
I'd be disappointed if they didn't have that.
Yeah. Knit one, pearl two.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to skip Super Mario Sports Mix because, you know, another cool game. All right.
Well said.
No, don't. Stop.
All right, the GoldenEye trailer I thought was pretty cool. The idea is they've been trying to remake this game or bring it to WiiWare or something for a long time. They've never been able to get the rights, so they decided to just do it over again, and they're doing it with, of course, Daniel Craig as Bond instead of Pierce Brosnan. From what I understand, it's pretty much a remake of the game with, you know, more aspects on today's shooters, like there's online multiplayer and so forth. If you're a Wii owner, which I am. If I didn't have any other system, which I do, I would be very excited about this game.
But however,
I have better game systems. I don't know. I'll see how this one goes.
However, I have Killzone 3 to look forward to.
The original GoldenEye was Lightning, which is to say there wasn't a whole lot on the market that was like it back in the day.
Right.
Particularly with that four player split screen thing.
Right.
A lot of us played that back in the day because it was the best thing of its kind available.
Yeah.
These days, that's not the case.
I think Halo totally took over the mantle from GoldenEye. Since then, we've all been playing games with a Halo control scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were some games in between that, like Counter-Strike and stuff like that. Yeah. But, I mean, there's nothing... They're completely banking on nostalgia for this, and that's just not enough.
It seems like what their primary platforms are this
Knowing the Nintendo audience, I think it will be enough, personally. I think they're going to sell a whole bunch of this game.
I think a lot of people will sell it back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, next one we got, Epic Mickey, which none of you guys probably know about.
Warren
Spector's project where he's going to bring back Mickey. Bring back Mickey. Reinvent Mickey in sort of his classic black and white style. And it's of course, it's a 3D platformer game, where Mickey basically runs around the world with a paintbrush. And using this paintbrush, he can change the world. He can take things out. He can add things in, draw objects, and affect the environment around him. Excuse me. It's probably going to get a lot of hype behind it. I think it's pretty cool to see Mickey playing starring in a game that's other than Kingdom Hearts, I guess. Any thoughts for you guys at all? Did you see it in action, Jeremy or Derek?
I think the only way that I can accept Mickey again now or get a reinvented version is to be completely demented. He has to be carrying a mace and completely slaughter people. If they were put him in like historical fiction, like if he was like Attila the Hun, except by Mickey, I could probably accept that.
This actually looks interesting to me. Maybe in part just because it's kind of developed by Square and has nothing to do with Kingdom Hearts. I do like a lot of the old Disney stuff. Like, old school Disney is pretty cool, actually.
Mm-hmm.
New school Disney makes me want to strangle someone, choke a bitch.
Yeah.
But old school Disney is cool, and I
this
like
this is definitely a game that's a testament to old school Disney, from what I understand.
And I mean, I don't know enough about the game, how it plays, to feel like true excitement about it, but I do like the idea behind it. I do like the concept, and that's enough for me right now to keep wanting to look at it some more as time goes by.
I think it's pretty cool that the story basically focuses on one of Walt Disney's original characters, like Oswald the Rabbit, and apparently he's causing all kinds of trouble, and Mickey has to go in and stop him, so
there's some tension. It kind of reminds me of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and the idea of, like, toons as people with, I don't know, desires to come to power or I don't know, win out for themselves. I do like the idea of, I guess, forgotten villains coming back to mess with the world, that kind of thing.
So that's something to get excited about for Wii.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to see it again. I mean, normally under Disney circumstances, I'd probably say, yeah, when I have kids. But yeah, I mean, that it actually does kind of look cool, because I remember watching the old Steamboat Willies and, you know, all those old, really cool cartoons that were, you know, it was like a feat for everybody to actually put them together like that.
The thing
about old Disney is that there was, like, genuine darkness in a lot of their old films.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole thing with Maleficent is actually pretty dark.
Yeah.
The Queen from Snow White, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If they can tap into that and not just make it a cutesy, I don't know, kind of throwaway story, then I would really be interested in seeing that.
Yeah, to reference Kingdom Hearts again, that's why I love Kingdom Hearts so much, because they really tapped in the darkness at the end of that game.
They did, but they did it in such a literal, like, ham-fisted way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like I've said this before, and it makes me sound xenophobic, and I apologize, but the Japanese are not very good at telling, a simple story. And they took what could have been, I think, a pretty good story in Kingdom Hearts and mucked it up with all this, like, Council of 13.
The second game definitely did that, yes.
And, well, I mean, even at the end of the first game, there's the Ansem character who's not Ansem, and then there's the true Ansem, and he's, like, firing a beam into the big heart, and he...
That was the second game. No, first game, he actually was Ansem in the end of the first game. Though it got a little complex the way they kept saying heart with everything.
Yeah, hearts will power the hearts in the heart cannon for hearts.
And then always a hearty meal to celebrate.
I'm going to heart you up.
Okay. And you guys Donkey Kong Country fans at all? Did you guys play that game?
Way back on N64, yeah.
My wife loves that game. She is a huge Donkey Kong Country fan.
It seems like Nintendo was really banking on retro games this year, because they're also, of course, Donkey Kong Country came out of that new game on Wii for download.
Okay, you got my interest a little bit.
I personally was never a Donkey Kong Country fan, so...
I like the first one, none of the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the first one.
And maybe just because the first one seemed new at the time.
Yeah.
When it really kind of wasn't.
It kind of sold you on that. It's a game in 3D graphics, and you went, wow.
No, it was actually fun.
It was fun, but, you know.
Also, it has some of my favorite music from video game history is the water levels from Donkey Kong Country.
Some good percussion in all those. And those little different levels there are awesome.
And some of the best monkey screeches, also, I guess. Exactly.
Well done, Chris. You're a sound guy now.
Well, that's right.
That being said, I have no interest in their new one.
Something I am interested in came at the very end of the show, the last half of the show, with the announcement of the 3DS. This was a system we saw a few months in advance. Well, that was leaked maybe about a month in advance. It's basically, the concept is, of course, it's a Nintendo DS, but you can view it in 3D without the use of glasses. Whereas if you actually wear glasses in real life, you're probably screwed. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, I know.
But you can turn the 3D on and off, so it's something that, you know, can or cannot play a part of the game.
Can annoy you.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
And what I've seen, the biggest thing there is it looks like it's got graphics on par with a PSP or a GameCube. The graphics for these games are gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And it's got an analog stick right above the D-pad, so Gives it a lot more options for 3D gaming on that system, and I'm really excited about this right now.
Kind of excited. Yeah, I'm really interested to see how they will pull that off, a 3D system without glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to look and see what that looks like, at least.
But for people with glasses and bad vision,
for a little shock value,
probably out of luck.
Yeah, I'm still not into the whole 3D thing. I think it's a big...
fad.
Yeah, it's a big fad. It's going to lose people's interest pretty quickly.
But don't you think the idea of a system that's not dependent on its 3D capability could be a good thing?
Well, I suppose.
Basically, I'm looking at this as an overpowered DS, and I play my DS more than I play my PSP, so by giving people...
And how much do you play your PS3 or computer in regards to...
I play them a lot more.
This is... Like, I'm not really that interested in a DS in the first place. I'm interested in it only in the sense that it has a few pieces of software that I want to play. But as a system, it's kind of shitty to me. Yeah. A 3D version of that is not any more interesting than the original version for me. It's just the same thing, but with nicer graphics and that fad attached to it, which they realize might not be a great thing to have all the time, since apparently you can turn it off.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand all the excitement about 3D stuff these days. I really don't.
Well, I mean, as a DS owner, it's not the 3D that's really got me excited about it. This is a system I would be willing to buy instead of just waiting for a bigger version or a slimmer version or a version with a camera on it. Is that for when it does have all those things anyway, except for being bigger. Mainly it's just the graphics. They had a demo of Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater playing for it on the show floor, and I think... If I can get games like that on this system, then that's totally worth it, because now it's in the same playing field.
You own Snake Eater on PS2.
I'm not saying I'm going to buy that game. I'm saying that I can see games like that with that graphic capability on this system now. Gets me excited about it.
I don't think that the people who create games for handhelds even know what the fuck they're doing anymore. They, it's all, like, pony games and I don't know, like, cooking Marmar and that kind of thing. Hardly anybody creates things specifically for handhelds that's of very high quality, it seems like. I mean, there's a couple of Kratos games on the PSP and that kind of thing. But, like, none of it feels like that interesting. None of it feels...
Well, that's more of a debate against handhelds in general. But as a handheld fan owner, I don't know if I go so far as a fan.
Do you play your handheld much when you're at home?
Right. I do, actually, yeah.
Because, I don't know, people make the argument that it's like the commuting way to play video, the video game for commutes.
Well, the thing that gets me playing it, it's all just about the games. If there's a game that, take for example Peace Walker from Metal Gear, I want to play that. If it were a 2D game like, say, Ghost Babel that came out on the original Game Boy Color, not so much. But if this is a game that, strikes me as interesting, if I want to know how a story and something continues, and it's only available on a handheld, that's what's selling me on these things right now.
I don't know. I feel like handhelds get less and less interesting to me over the years, maybe just because it's a hell of a lot more comfortable for me to sit on a couch and look at a giant TV.
Well, of course... The hesitation that comes with buying a Nintendo handheld console is that you're always knowing that within about 3 or 4 months they're probably going to have something better down the line. So I'll wait to see what happens with it. I'm sure they're going to come up with a slim version that does something better. Probably, I'd go as far as to bet money on it, probably within a year's time. But still, as an announcement, I was actually very impressed by it. I'm very impressed with what I've seen so far. Kid Icarus looks pretty cool. And, maybe we'll see, find out more from that.
They're trying to bank on all these avatars from the past. That's crazy. Hopefully some of them hit. I hope they do, but I don't know. Interesting.
In some ways, I feel like Derek might be primarily a handheld gamer these days, and that he's always got this thing in his hand.
I'm usually checking internet and other stuff. I'm actually doing some errands on my phone.
If you say so, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you guys doing right now? You guys want to take a break right now, or you want to keep going?
I like to take a 5.
Yeah?
I'll probably wrap it up here.
We'll take a quick 5-minute break here, and we'll finish up with Sony's conference, and then we'll all see you. So, back in a bit.
Cool.
And welcome back. We're back from our break here. We lost Derek, man down. But we're still here, Christian and Jeremy and your good old buddy Aiden. I wish I hadn't started like that, but I already did, so now we're going. So that's the hard part with these podcasts is, what's the first thing that's going to come out of your mouth, you know?
Something retarded.
Usually. Something retarded, usually, yeah. And because it's my podcast, I feel like I should be the guy who takes the fall for that. Like, it's my responsibility to prevent all of you from saying something stupid. So I'll say it first.
Awesome.
All right, getting on. We've got Sony's conference here. I'd say Sony and Nintendo personally have the best conferences, in my opinion. Let's see. Of course, their big focus is 3D TV. Something I don't think any of us are excited about.
No.
Because, well, at the end of the day, are you going to buy a 3D television? That seemed to be the big question to me that wasn't answered.
I just bought an HD TV. Fuck that.
So did I.
Yeah, no shit. I'm not going to do that. No way.
It didn't seem like anyone really acknowledged that question there. You know, hey, we've got so much awesome stuff in 3D. Doesn't look great. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm not going to buy it.
We were talking about this a little bit during the break. Is my feeling on the 3D TV thing is that it's an interim product, meaning that it's the median between crap and something that's actually interesting. And I feel like 3D TV is going to fail for a lot of reasons, like the one we just talked about, but also because people are waiting for something that's actually kind of cool rather than this gimmicky shit. And I don't know. Sony's trying to push this shit really hard, and I think they're going to fall on their face.
You also made a good point when we were talking over the break. You said that Sony was really beginning to pull ahead. And when I bought a PlayStation 3, I knew, because I had a PS2 at the time, and PlayStation 3 had been out for about a year and a half or so. And I've been wondering, why haven't I bought one of these new systems yet? Well, because they're expensive. I think this PS3 was like $500 then or something. But what made me get it was that I said to myself, you know,
$600, and what is it, Kaz or I, whoever it was, said people will get second jobs for it.
Yeah. Well,
if they want.
I got one for $400 on eBay. So, but regardless, I chose it over Xbox because I thought that PS3 had the better long-term investment for me. I thought they might not have it now, but down the road, I'm going to be playing Metal Gear. I'm going to be playing Final Fantasy. I'm going to be playing all those games, and I'm still going to be able to play my PS2 games on it. So some of that's changed, obviously, but I do feel, you know, several years later that I've made the right choice. I really love my PS3. I use it for everything, and this is a good time for Sony. But I think we were discussing how it's also a great time for them to fail enormously.
Yeah.
And I think 3D could be the way to that. I view it as Nintendo's Virtual Boy, you know? When you're at a point where you feel like you can do no wrong, and then suddenly you expect everyone to shell out money for this gimmicky system, there's huge potential for failure here. So I really hope Sony doesn't put too much money into this thing, you know? If you're gonna sell it, great, but sell it to the, you know, the rich folk, the people who buy this stuff. But don't make it an integral part of the experience for these games here, because it's not everyone's going
to
be using
and
doing
don't
this.
Don't try to constantly push it on people, because they're going to get pushed back.
Right. Now, I was mad enough when I started playing PlayStation 3 games on my regular TV and realizing that I couldn't read the font for games like Prototype and Fear 2 and Killzone 3. Mm-hmm. I could not read the text in standard definition. Only when I got an HD TV did I actually realize how clear and perfect it looked, but not everyone has an HD TV. We're still not in a...
Yeah, we're still not in a full HD. Transition.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're already wanting us to have 3D TVs. That's,
I know.
That's just hilarious.
It's crazy.
I know. I still have a cathode ray tube in my bedroom. You know, I mean, it's
yeah,
like, come
too.
On, CRT. It's good enough, you know? I mean, shit, it's bad enough when you have to watch at night when you're watching ESPN, you know, because someone else likes to watch it. And I'm not mentioning you, honey. I'm not mentioning you at all. But, maybe I just did, but yeah. I mean, I can barely see the writing because they've got it all set up to where you have to have this certain type of, you got to have progressive scan to be able to see the scrollers on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise it skips. And I'm like, you know, okay, that's great. I can look at it in the living room, but I don't have HD cable. I don't have HD dish anything. You know, I mean, so I'm still running standard definition through a high def TV. You know, it's great flat screen, but come on, come on. I mean. 3D transition, give me a break.
Give me a break. And there's only like 7 or 8 TVs that are actually going to be functioning with that. You know? And they're all really expensive, so yeah, whatever.
There's always going to be the early adopters, I guess, but those guys, they're crazy. Mm-hmm. They always want the latest thing.
They're always sitting out in front of the Apple store waiting for the newest thing, you know?
And I know. I find it hilarious that we just got our new fairly large screen HDTV, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, something like that. Moving that old standard def TV out of the apartment was one of the most physically demanding things I've done in my life, I think. I decided to just, rather than force one of my friends to come over, or my brother, or whatever, I just moved it out myself. That thing was like, I don't even know how heavy it was.
Can't imagine doing that on your stairs. You got like this metal staircase.
I didn't carry
that. I get like terrified when I go up your staircase, because I can look straight down, and there's like little hooks, like, I don't know, there's a little like ledge at the end of each step, which makes me feel like it's going to be very easy for me to trip one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine carrying a TV down there. Just
no, I slid that thing the entire way from the apartment to the dumpster because it was too heavy to lift even for, you know, longer than 5 seconds.
Is that how you got rid of it? Just threw in the dumpster?
Yeah. I mean, it was busted by the time we got rid of it, but I mean, that was a few months ago that we just got that TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
I know. I know.
And I feel like we're not that late to the game, honestly.
Yeah, you're right, because, I mean, I remember lugging out my giant fucking cathode ray, my first cathode ray TV that I got rid of, and carrying my other one with one hand because it had a handle on the fucking box. I mean, like, come on. I'm holding it with one hand, and I'm like,
yeah. Oh,
this is nice. You know? But
TVs with handles, that's the next great innovation I want to see.
26-inch Vizio, I mean, come on. It was just, like, so light. I mean, I was like, yes. No more lugging over the family car and the family van to move stuff around.
And three dudes.
Yes. That you always feel so inferior about because you're never as strong as they are.
Anyway. Well, what else?
Yeah. Sony's next big announcement, I guess the big focus was on the Move, of course. This is pretty much the year where it's up to these console makers to sell us on motion control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've done it with Kinect, but, you know, then again, Kinect really isn't aimed at gamers. It's really more aimed at people who aren't gamers, trying
Skypers.
To get them into it. Yeah, Skypers.
Yeah, it's aimed at, I don't know, they're I think, aiming at a pretty broad audience.
Mm.
They want everybody to be interested in it.
Now, the big difference between these two is I think that Sony is aiming Move at gamers. They're trying to convince us that this is a device that will, of course, enhance or play to some of the games that a broader audience normally wouldn't adopt. Games like fighting, like SOCOM, like, you know, I don't know, archery simulators, what have you.
Yeah.
Wii Sports.
Wii Sports ripoffs, yeah. Yeah. I'm more excited about it than I am Natal, not just because I have a PS3, but because I honestly think, from what I've heard, it's very good and precise with shooters, namely. It's some cases, like SOCOM was the game I was discussing with you earlier, where it's easier for some people to aim in SOCOM with the Move than it would be with the actual controller.
Well, we were talking about this also during the break, and
yeah.
My point is about this, to put it simply, is that it's, of course, it's going to be easier to point a laser pointer, essentially, at something than it is to line up a cursor with the analog sticks.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that also takes a lot of the challenge out of it. I mean, we were playing House of the Overkill on Wii, and aiming for that game, I mean, for one thing, you constantly have a cursor on the screen telling you where you're aiming. But it's overly simplified to me. I mean, it really does. It works well as an aiming system, but it works too well, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It, there's no challenge whatsoever in aiming a laser pointer at something.
Yeah.
I can see that, yeah. I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the controllers. They look like very nice personal massagers.
They do look like very nice controllers.
Plugs. Yeah.
But here's my thing about Move. You've got to buy...
a lolly.
You've got to buy the controller. You don't have to buy its nunchuck equivalent, because I'm told that the controller can act as that as well. I see a lot of games where people are using two of these controllers.
Yeah, that probably is really cheap.
So I don't know if I'd be willing to buy two of these controllers. Then you've also got to buy the iToy that works with them. That is also required. I don't hear a lot of discussion about that. So I've heard that they're going to come with a few bundles of it, but still it sounds like that's a lot of crap I need just to play these games here.
Yeah, for one console, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, for the way it's linked up and interlaced.
So you don't want to pay potentially maybe $175.
It probably would be about $150 or $175, I'd imagine.
Dollars to play an archery simulator?
Rather just buy a real bow and arrow and shoot.
You're not a real gamer. You're not a real gamer.
I guess not. But I mean, you look at how they supported the iToy. You know, they came out with like a handful of games, and then you never saw it again. You know, mm-hmm.
And the game sucked.
Yeah, like I think the best use of the iToy, and this always surprised me, is in Burnout Paradise, where after they crash, it automatically takes a snapshot of your reaction. I'm surprised people actually did that. They actually let it sit in front of the screen to catch them going, "Whoa!" You know. And that was probably the best use of it, but since then I haven't seen anything else that I would do with an iToy.
You could use it to take pictures of your face or your nutsack or whatever.
Genitals, unless they bring Chat Roulette as a downloadable app to PlayStation 3. Yeah.
To plug your face into Tiger Woods.
Your penis as a face in Tiger Woods, yeah.
Yes.
Endorsed by Nike.
Okay, so maybe there is potential overall.
It's 3D.
A 3D nutsack.
3D nutsack. Finally.
That's awful.
Oh, new information in the big unit.
And probably, thirdly, Sony's third big announcement was probably the reveal of Portal 2, which is actually coming to PlayStation, considering some of the more colorful comments that Gabe Newell has said in the past.
Is that Portal 1... The orange box is on PS3. I don't really understand what the big deal is.
The big deal of it is that it's going to be supporting Steam, which is something that they can't do on the Xbox because of... Microsoft likes to hold the rights to how things are digitally distributed. They don't want user content and so forth. But basically, the big thing about this happening is that it's going to be fully supported by Steam, so they're going to get all the updates and the upgrades before anyone else does, well, if even at all. And, of course, the game itself just looked pretty cool. I'm kind of excited to see what they can do with the Portal if they make a full game out of it instead of just, you know, the few levels. There's also potential for that to go horribly wrong, I admit. But, I don't know. They had a pretty creative team do it the first time. Maybe they can do it again.
If something like Steam could go in and usurp the position of PSN and take over, and be, like, the new PSN,
yeah,
that would be my dream come true, but that's not what the situation is indicating is going to happen.
But even so, it's good to still see that they've acknowledged their mistakes, and, well, I think they've acknowledged that the PS3 version of the Orange Box is pretty much the crappiest version that you can buy.
It was not made by them. It was ported by Electronic Arts.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's why then. But, I don't know, I'm just excited to see finally Valve, you know, taking an interest here, and I guess what they're not saying, but we're all kind of hoping, if you're a PS3 owner, is that maybe this will mean more Valve games on the PS3 in the future. So yay for that.
I don't know, I feel skeptical about that because Gabe Newell has been so vocally negative about PS3. I mean, like, more so than anybody else I can think of.
Yeah. But it was pretty interesting to see him walk out on stage like he did and make that whole speech there. I think he was referring to Kevin mm-hmm. Butler had a great speech. I don't know if you guys saw that, but Kevin mm-hmm. Butler had a pretty funny speech there on stage. And, of course, when Gabe Newell came out, he said something along the lines of, "I just ran into the vice president of sharpening objects." So he's got a good sense of humor about it. There is one more thing Sony announced, and that was PlayStation Plus. Sort of their version of a paid elite service for their members. Now, of course, PlayStation 3 is known for, of course, being completely free online. And from what I understand, if this is going to work, of course, it can't be something that's going to change what you already have. And Sony has promised this isn't going to be the case. I don't know. We'll see.
What would you want to see in a bundle like that would make you pay, say, $10 a month or whatever?
Well, one of my E3 predictions, I think I mentioned it last podcast, I think I was most excited about was I recalled a memo that was leaked earlier last year where they discussed, they were talking about this, what kind of features they would put into it. Some of the features that they said would be downloadable PS2 games as well, maybe bringing back backwards compatibility. Dreamcast games would be coming to this. Well, we know now that Dreamcast and Sega games are now coming back to the PSN network and Xbox, but I've heard nothing about that at E3, which I think is kind of weird. But those were, for me, the big things. That's what I was looking for the most at E3. I was waiting to hear, you know, they're going to bring back backwards compatibility, and we're going to see some Dreamcast games come to the system. They didn't mention that at all, so I'm a little bit disappointed there.
I haven't really heard a clamor in the gaming community for backwards compatibility. I think
recently,
most people have more or less gotten over the fact that they don't have it and found that they don't really miss it that much.
Well, it is true. And I do think that now Sony's realizing that they can release 3D.
God knows, I haven't touched a PS2 game in a long time.
Well, I have. I still play my PS2 games quite frequently as well, though.
I played Midnight Club 3 maybe a couple months ago, but other than that, like I really don't.
I can totally understand that, but I mean, for me, I do play my PS2 games still. I still like to break out Zone of Enders, and I break out Metal Gears, and I break out even some of the original Grand Theft Autos. I prefer those over the fourth one.
Clearly, you're not playing enough World of Warcraft.
Apparently not.
What is this World of Warcraft you speak of?
Yeah. But, what they did say the features mainly included was, of course, discounts on games, and I saw some of those today. Some of them have some pretty good discounts on them. You also get, of course, exclusive content in the form of, like, avatars and backgrounds, but that's pretty much a given. Mm-hmm. One of the bigger things they said was they're going to do hour-long trials where you can actually download a game, like a full game, play it for a full hour, and then it locks out, and then you have the option of whether you want to buy the game or not.
Somebody's going to crack that.
Yep.
That's
destined
to be
broken.
That will be cracked immediately.
They're doing that with Infamous as the first game. And, of course, you'll get, you know, a free game a month or so, a free mini. I think the pricing structure, something like it's $17 a month, or for $50 you can buy, get an entire year, which is pretty much the same cost as, like, an Xbox Live membership. As someone who does buy a lot from the PlayStation Store, I'm interested by it, but the stuff that they're releasing this month doesn't have me sold yet. When I find something that's, you know, worthwhile on there, I'll go for it. But, I mean, I already have Infamous.
Maybe if this system evolves a little bit and becomes something a little more desirable, I might have an interest in it. But, right now, I'm...
Yeah, there just wasn't anything on day one for me.
Yeah, this seems to me like it would be, this would be something that would be subsequent or an add-on, you know, say, okay, by the way, here's PlayStation Plus.
Right.
Not we're gonna spend... you know, millions of dollars just to make sure that everyone looks at this at E3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that's just going to be kind of added on in the future. Something that's downplayed, but when people see it and catch on to it, you know, it's like, wow, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, I mean, from what I understand, from the amount of discount and the fact you're getting pretty much a free game every month, I mean, this if you are someone who, you know, plays a lot at your PlayStation 3 a lot, then this could be a good thing. This could be an actual way to save money over the course of a year. But, you know, it depends on how they handle it. So I think it's actually a good thing. I think as long as they do keep PlayStation 3 Network as it is, free, you know, as long as I don't get the impression that they're going to do things like exclusive demos for games only for Plus members, as long as these games are still available in some form to the average gamer, then I would support something like this.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. As long as I don't have to pay to... for example, just to go online to use PSN for my fighting games, for example, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool if they want to have this extra stuff. I hope that eventually it becomes something more desirable, because I wouldn't mind having a premium service for a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Although, to be honest, I mean, this is probably a lot more attractive to people who are bigger console gamers than I.
Oh, definitely.
So.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, I'd like... for standalone reasons, yes. You know, absolutely. I mean, hey, you know, I want to make sure that it's not going to be something that's completely required for me to, you know, grab something. You know, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, same thing. Feel the same way.
Cool. Alright, before we wrap it up, I just want to shout out a couple games that were also announced. Maybe get our... I don't want to say yay or nay, but our brief synopsis of them, if we're excited about them or not. So let's start with some of the big showstoppers here. Let's see. We already went over Metal Gear Rising, Gears of War, and Halo. That's pretty much a given now, I'd say. Some of the games coming up. Rage from ID Software. That's their, I guess, their new game. They're the guys that made, of course, Doom and pretty much invented first-person shooting.
Yeah. And Commander Keen.
Yes, course. Absolutely.
I haven't seen the game in action.
Don't forget Blade Stone Aliens of Gold, because before that was it.
Yeah, that's pretty sorry. Good.
I personally haven't seen the game in action, but I hear a lot of good stuff about it.
I play it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in it, but I'm not like a buyer day one for something like that on ever.
Yeah, yeah.
I always wait for that kind of thing to get cheaper.
You know what you might like? Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Have you seen this game?
Not in action, no.
This game in action blew my mind. This is such a throwback to retro 2D beat-em-ups. It was just so colorful, so action-packed. The artwork was incredible. I'm really excited about Scott Pilgrim, and it's only coming to the PSN. But yeah, that's a trailer you should definitely check out, Jeremy. I think you would like that. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I'm having a weird Assassin's Creed month. I've just really gotten into that game this month. Don't know how they can follow up the story. The idea is this is basically going to be a multiplayer game where you're playing as multiple assassins fighting online.
Right.
As long as it's got a good single-player game, I'd be excited, but...
Is it co-op? Is that what
I don't know. It might be. Yeah, we'll find out.
It reminds me of that Splinter Cell game where it was mercenaries versus spies a while ago. And that didn't do well. I don't think this is going to do well either.
Okay.
People like to shoot each other with assault rifles, not assassinate each other with
clay pots,
knives,
machetes, or whatever. It's, I don't know.
What else? Dead Space 2. That looked pretty good. The demo that I saw there looked pretty interesting.
Did you play the first one?
I played the first one, but you know what? I couldn't get into it. I think it's a game I really would like to go back to and try again, but...
It's dead cheap.
Yeah, so it is cheap now.
It wouldn't cost anything to do so.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just go back to the first before I give my opinion on this. Did you play the first one?
No.
No?
I played the demo. It didn't interest me at all.
Yeah. Because I've got so many friends that are absolutely in love with that game. I just feel like I'm missing something here with that.
Never heard of it.
Yeah?
I should look into it. I'll look into that tonight.
It's like a survival horror game, but in space, on a spaceship. Really? And you shoot, like, monsters, and you dismember them and stuff. What did I write in that note here? Marvel vs. Capcom 3. That's one I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever played SNK vs. Capcom? Or no, Capcom vs. Tatsunoko?
Nope.
No? Sorry for my friends at the anime group here, but I don't really like that game. The controls were... It's like they reduced it, the Marvel vs. Capcom system, to two buttons, where you got a button that does all your punching and kicking, and then another button for your special moves. And I feel like I lost something in translation.
Sounds like a Wii game.
It's not... Like a dumbed-down game, yeah. I don't know if this is going to be the case with Marvel vs. Capcom
like
3.
Smash Brothers.
But from some of the interviews I've seen, they say they're trying to make it a more simplified control scheme. And when I hear that, I think of that game, and I really hope that's not the case.
I don't know. Like, one problem for me, I'll just say this, because I've played Marvel vs. Capcom 2 with you a bit, and you kicked the shit out of me, is that learning the moveset for... even a handful of characters in that game is a chore. I will say that. That's a lot of characters. Like, what, 52 characters?
Yeah.
Something like that. And they all have, I mean, relatively similar movesets, but it's not exactly the same from character to character.
Well, I think it's pretty simple with Marvel vs. Capcom as it is.
Well, I'll be fighting you, and you'll be pulling off all kinds of crazy shit, and I can't figure out, like, more than one move for my each of my characters. And that shit gets old a little bit. So I can understand the desire to simplify it. I don't know if it's a good thing necessarily to do so, but I understand where they're coming from, at least.
Yeah, yeah. So. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. Mortal Kombat. There was a lot of Mortal Kombat hype right before E3 when that movie trailer got leaked out.
Hey, guess what? I just watched Mortal Kombat on Netflix streaming last night.
And was it good?
It's terrible, but, you know, good also.
Right, right. The first one?
Yeah.
Well,
that's the only one to watch.
That's the only one to watch. I saw a trailer for it. There was a lot of people online are really excited about this.
What I saw in there didn't seem very fair. So he, like, freezes this guy, right?
Right.
And then he explodes. I could see his guts and everything.
Well done, Jeremy.
Almost lost my lunch.
And the Oscar goes to...
Trevor Goddard as Kano.
Nice.
Anyway.
Posthumously.
I thought this leaked online because I looked stupid, but that was me. Trying to turn it into a gritty crime drama in the vein of, like, Seven or something. It doesn't look like that's the way it should go. But, yeah. It wasn't an actual trailer. It was a little film they put together in hopes of pitching a movie idea to Warner Brothers. But then they showed that they're going to come out with I guess it's a remake of Mortal Kombat. So it's going to return 2D. To its 2D, 2.5D roots, if you will.
That's a really good idea, but it's still not a very good game.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see more of it. Maybe it can be fun. I had a lot of fun with Mortal Kombat 2 back in the day. So, brings back some of those fond memories.
There's still a pretty strong community for that online, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Rock Band 3. Basically with the addition of the keytar, as I understand it.
Oh. I think people are pretty much over music games these days.
I'd probably get it, actually. I like music games.
I think if you don't have Rock Band 1 or 2, that'd be a good place to go to.
Now, Green Day Rock Band, no. Right, of course. Or any themed game other than, of course, the Beatles, because, that's the only way I can get Beatles content through it. But I'd probably play it, if there was more stuff.
Yeah. For the love of God, though, you better be able to take your songs from 1 and 2.
You can.
Yes, yeah, you better you be can. Able to. Absolutely.
If you could, they
clear that up right away. You
disastrous.
Can.
Yeah.
The main idea is that I can finally play those Queen songs.
Yes. Great.
Yeah. The selling point. Deus Ex 2, I heard a lot of good stuff about that. I haven't seen it in motion.
I haven't either.
I've never played the first one. I've always heard it's so good, but I think it's one of those things that's so old that when you try to play it now, it's kind of painful.
Yeah.
But I have a strong interest in this because I've heard so many good things about the first one.
I'll have to check that out. I'll have to see what's up with that tonight.
Child of Eden. Have you heard about this yet, Jeremy?
No.
From what I understand, it's sort of the spiritual successor to Rez. Except it's also playable on Natal, but the idea is that, or Kinect, sorry.
Oh, no, wait, yeah, I did hear about this then.
Yeah, you can adjust the music with your hands and whatnot.
But that...
But Kinect,
I want is HD res for PSN. That's right. All I need. They don't need to make anything else. I'm fine with just res on its own, but if they would... I have no idea why they never put it on PSN. It's because the guy who made it is a dick, I think, is kind of the problem. But... I don't need more res, particularly on Xbox 360. I just want them to bring it over to PSN, and I'll be happy as pig in shit.
Well, lastly, Fallout New Vegas. I'd have figured we'd have talked a lot more about this by now.
There hasn't really been much to talk about.
Not really. It's Fallout, and it's in Vegas.
New Vegas.
You play as an Elvis impersonator.
A little less conversation, a lot more action.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm the only guy who hasn't sung on this podcast yet. Wow.
Wow.
I should step up my game. Yeah, I loved Fallout. I just feel like I should be more excited for this game. It is being made by a different team, but it looks pretty much exactly...
That's probably why you're not excited about it.
That could be it.
Actually, that's a little bit of why I wasn't very excited about it, because I heard it wasn't being made by the same people.
Mm-hmm. But what if it's a lot less glitchy? Just throwing that out there. What if?
I think there's a high probability that it would be a lot less glitchy, just because most things are a lot less glitchy than Fallout 3. But, I don't know. I guess, I think of Las Vegas, and I think of a fairly large city surrounded by nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And... like, the thing about Fallout 3 is there's lots of formerly full countryside around Washington, D.C. There's nothing around Las Vegas. So when you hear the name Fallout Las Vegas, you think of it taking place only in the city. And that is kind of a put-off.
That's a good thing
that
point,
puts me off. I don't know if that's the case. That's just kind of what I infer from my knowledge of that area.
At least we know there's going to be a wasteland.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a guaranteed.
It was already a wasteland before, though, so...
Yeah. I'm sure there'd be a lot of nice places to hide and that kind of thing. Especially if they build it for accuracy, in today's Vegas, at least.
I'm definitely interested in this, but I think before buying this, I'd rather just go back and buy a Fallout 3 game of the year, which I haven't done.
I did.
Has that been repaired at all?
No, I don't think so.
It hasn't.
Jeez.
I'd still play it.
Well, if they're willing to make a new one, why don't they just incorporate the old maps and everything?
Well, I think I'd pick it up on PC. I heard the PC version was not as glitchy as the PS3 version.
Really? Because that's been my number one reason for not buying it, actually.
Why?
Because all I have is a PC right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard such terrible quality on the transition between PlayStation 3 and the way it looks online or on a computer. Mm. Of course, it could be my computer, though, so...
I don't know. My computer's nice as hell, and I would expect that it would be able to run something that looks better than a PS3.
But if you have a PS3, it's not unplayable.
But the PS3 version for me was pretty bad. Yeah. And I think it might vary from disc to disc and PS3 to PS3, probably.
Hmm.
But for me, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
In particular, there was some sort of weird problem where if a scorpion appeared in the overworld and I aimed at it, it would just freeze the game, like, unerringly, it would freeze the game.
Wow.
And if you've played Fallout 3, there are a lot of goddamn fucking scorpions running around the overland.
Yeah, that hasn't happened to me, but there have been some freezing instances in that game at other points, yeah.
I'm gonna check that out, though. I'm gonna see it.
But definitely play it, yeah, you've gotta play it. We had, like, I think 2 or 3 podcasts in a row where that was, like, our biggest topic, just Fallout 3.
And probably about 2 hours in a bar.
Yeah, yeah. We had a lot to talk about with that game. Real quickly, some of the games I thought we would hear more about but didn't. L.A. Noir from Rockstar. It's a game that takes place, of course, I think in the 20s or 30s, Grand Theft Auto style. Beyond Good and Evil.
40s.
40s? Okay, 40s, yeah. Beyond Good and Evil, we saw like some previews of that, some pictures of that, but I thought something would be released at E3 about that, but nothing came of that.
Everybody thought it was canceled for a long time. I think it might have actually been canceled.
Maybe it has.
But there's a lot of, I think, cult love for it.
Hmm. Last Guardian, they showed that at the previous E3 from the guys who made Shadow of the Colossus and Eco. Hmm. Nothing on that. Resistance 3, we know that that's being developed, but we don't know what happened to it. Mass Effect 3, nothing on that there.
Hmm.
Diablo 3, a lot of threes.
Do you have any interest in Diablo 3?
Me, personally, no.
I have a nostalgic interest in it, because playing the first one...
But I have never played Diablo 2, and from what I understand, that's where all the fan base is located at right now. That's where everyone's is at.
You know what I really, really loved back in the day is I had Diablo on the PlayStation, and playing that with a controller instead of a mouse was awesome.
Really?
If they make it for the PS3, I will buy it day one, but otherwise I don't really have an interest in it.
Hmm. Batman Arkham Asylum 2. I really thought I'd see a lot more about this game at E3, but no, not much yet.
I think it's better for them not to show anything right now.
Yeah. Okay.
It's still so close to the first game, and everybody still loves the first game, I think.
And lastly, biggest missing item of the show was the Wii Vitality Sensor. What happened to that? You put it on your finger and it measures your heartbeat.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I can do that at the hospital.
Why am I not seeing more games with this? Why has no one thought to use this in a game yet? I don't get it.
Interesting. Well, you know, I think that poses a really good concept here, because if you had vitality sensors, say, on the bottom of an Xbox controller, and you're playing, like, you know, something like really, really scary, and you're going, your heart beats racing.
The game could then tell you that you're scared.
BioShock 3, for instance, if you had something like that, and, you know, all of a sudden, oh, crap, this big daddy's coming at me, what do I got to do about this, you know, and all of a sudden you start feeling your heartbeat, and then the AI starts to sense and pick up on these things, and, you know, really pick up on your vitality sensor and actually bring in more mobs and more angry people. And
maybe they could also create some, like, an alligator clip add-on for the vitality sensor, where you have clips like on your nipples and your nutsack and in between your toes, and it sends low-level shocks into you to...
And your ears, too.
So they're starting to get really...
It's certainly more interactive than 3D, so yeah, I'd go for that.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Okay, or maybe Nintendo just gave up and realized it was stupid. Or that. Alright, anything else you guys want to hit on before we call tonight?
My wife.
Well, now that you both have wives, you can do that.
You've got a girlfriend.
Did you ever beat 3D Dot Dick Game Heroes?
No, not yet. I'm at the fourth dungeon, and then Red Dead Redemption came out, and then a whole bunch of other games. I've got to go back. Now that I've beaten Assassin's Creed again, I'm going to go back and play that next.
Yeah.
Damn.
They had a character creation contest a little while ago. The winner of that contest was a character named Manon. who's half man, half cannon, and he has like tank treads for legs. But they had some pretty cool entries in that. Another one was sheep costume or something like that, where it looks like a sheep normally, but when it's attacking, it's a monster leaping out from underneath the sheep. I haven't gotten a chance to get back to that because of marital
other complications.
Constraints.
Yeah, I should go back and finish that game. That game was pretty fun. I picked it up a few days ago and I really got into it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm one of those guys that I need like a dungeon companion with that kind of game to see how it's done.
Yeah,
your brother.
Don't wuss out. It's not that hard.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to check us out on iTunes. And if you already have subscribed to this, you know to delete your subscription to the other iTunes, other UNM link up there. UNM Gamer Link. I can't speak tonight. I'm tired. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, check us out at iTunes. Look up for UNM Gamer. You'll find us here next month when we come out with our July edition of the UNM Gamer podcast.
Probably also, closer to mid-month next month.
Hopefully, yeah. Also, keep an eye on the site. I'm going to try and have some previews up there for you soon. Get some more updates up there. Well, that about wraps it up for this show.
And I'll get some writing done for you guys too, Christian. Here, so I'll make sure to do some writing here. I got a little bit more time now.
Yes. Cool. So thanks again for listening, guys. We will see you all next month. Bye bye. All
right.
UNM Gamer is not directly affiliated with the University of New Mexico. Rather, they are a group of enthusiastic gamers who happen to record across the street from it. Instead of complaining, why not listen to me say cool things in robot lingo, such as, all your base are belong to us, good morning Dave, and the cake is a lie. There, don't you feel better?